الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد. All praise is due to Allah, Lord of all that exists, all of the alameen, all of those things in existence. And may He raise the rank of His final messenger, prophet and slave, or His final messenger and prophet and His slave Muhammad, and that of His family, followers, and companions. Amma ba'd, as for what follows, then by Allah's permission and by Allah's grace, we meet here at Al-Masjid Al-Awwal in the city of Pittsburgh after the performance of Salat Al-Maghrib on the eve of the ninth day of Jumada Al-Ula, the fifth month of the calendar, the year 1436, to come back to our tafsir of Surah Ar-Rahman. And we left off reading from the words of our great scholar of fiqh, the scholar of tafsir and usul, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen. May Allah Ta'ala have mercy on him. We left off finishing the 30th verse of Surah Ar-Rahman. So today we'll look at the 31st verses all the way to the 45th verses in, inshallah, our discussion, which takes us for this hour to the time of Salat Al-Isha, inshallah ta'ala, asking Allah ta'ala for success in attaining understanding of His book and in practicing that with sincerity and correct practice. Allah Ta'ala says, سَنَفْرُغُ لَكُمْ أَيُّهَا الثَّقَلَانِ. Allah Ta'ala says what means here, the 31st verse of Surah Ar-Rahman. And we are going to dedicate or focus on you, you two beings that are heavy, meaning jinn and mankind. They're called ثَقَلَانِ because jinn and mankind on the surface of the earth, they are heavy, meaning great in number. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. So which of the favors of your Lord will you, the two of you, deny? We say in response something like, لَا بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ آلَائِكَ رَبَّنَا نُكَذِّبُ فَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ. No, there is none of your bounties, of your blessings, our Lord, do we deny, and to you is the praise. We say it either based on the narration which has been considered authentic by some of the scholars, it's collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi in his Jami', or if that is not authentic, then we say it because this is how we respond to Allah Ta'ala in a general way when Allah Ta'ala addresses mankind. When paradise is mentioned, hellfire is mentioned, virtues are mentioned, we ask Allah and we interact with Allah Ta'ala. We ask for His bounties that He mentions. We seek refuge with Him from punishments that He mentions, and so on, as our Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to do in his salah even, and outside of his salah when reading the Quran, paradise would be mentioned and he would seek it from Allah Ta'ala, begging it. Begging Allah Ta'ala for it. And the hellfire would be mentioned, and he would seek refuge with Allah Ta'ala from it in a general way, because his interaction with the book of Allah Ta'ala was with the presence of heart. The recitation of tadabbur, the recitation of thinking and contemplating. And that, being one of our goals, is only accomplished through understanding the verses. The person cannot respond and interact with the Qur'an without knowledge of the meanings of the Qur'an. And thus we are here in the house of Allah studying tafsir, the explanation of the meanings of the verses of the Qur'an. Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen says, هذه الجملة المقصود بها الوعيد. This phrase, the intention is to be a threat, to be a scary threat. That is, سَنَفْرُغُ لَكُمْ. We are going to focus on you. We are going to dedicate our focus on you, أَيُّهَا الثَّقَلَانِ, you two heavy creations, or you two heavy beings that are upon the earth. It is a threat. It is a threat of punishment, a threat that is scary. كَمَا يَقُولُ قَائِلٌ لِمَنْ يَتَوَاعَدَهُ سَأَتَفَرَّغُ لَكَ وَأُجَازِيكَ. Like how a person would say to someone that he wants to threaten, I'm going to deal with you, and I'm going to get you for what you have done. I'm going to سَأُجَازِيكَ. I'm going to give you a jaza. Remember, jaza is not essentially positive or negative. It is a neutral term. And that's why we say Jazakallahu khayran, because Jazakallah is meaningless. Jazakallah, there is no person except Jazahullah. There is no person in existence except that Allah will be the one to give him a recompense, good or bad. So a dua that is meaningless is something to be avoided. Rather you say Jazakallahu khayran, and you add, you know, that which takes it from neutrality, from a neutral statement, may Allah give you a recompense. Make it into, may Allah give you a good recompense, right? So I'm going to deal with you. I'm going to deal with you and get you for what you have done. That's what a person might say to someone that he threatens. وَلَيْسَ الْمَعْنَى. The meaning is not أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يُشْغِيلُهُ شَأْنٌ عَنْ شَأْنٍ, that he is occupied, busied in a way that occupies him with one thing over another. Meaning that Allah Ta'ala, whatever he does, it is not like the human beings. He is not now busied and occupied with something where he cannot do another thing. Human beings, we have a capacity. We are created and we are limited. Yet our Creator is not defined by those limits that we think of within the creation. So when we say that Allah has threatened the disbelievers and the criminals, that He's going to deal with them, and He's going to focus on them, it doesn't mean that He was busy with other things or occupied with other things and unable to deal with them, or too busy to deal with them, and so on. ثُمَّ يَفْرُغُ مِنْ هَذَا. And then after that, when He's done with something, then He will begin to deal with something. وَيَأْتِي إِلَى هَذَا. وَهُوَ سُبْحَانَهُ يُدَبِّرُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ فِي آنٍ وَاحِدٍ. Allah Ta'ala organizes, is in total control of every single thing at every instant, at every instance. فِي مَشَارِقِ الْأَرْضِ وَمَغَارِبِهَا. In the easts of the world, in the easts of the whole earth, and in the wests, in the east side of the earth and the west side of the earth. وَفِي السَّمَاوَاتِ. And in the heavens. وَفِي كُلِّ مَكَانٍ يُدَبِّرُهُ فِي آنٍ وَاحِدٍ. And in every place, He is the one in control. At each and every instance. Isa, you have an issue. Question, correction. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. The misconception being dispelled here by the Shaykh is that when Allah says, سَنَفْرُغُ لَكُمْ, we're going to deal with you solely. Like, we're going to put other issues aside and deal with you in a focused type of dealing. That's the understanding you get from the faragh. لَنَفْرُغُ لَكُمْ. Alright? أَتَفَرَّغُ لَكُمْ. I'm going to deal with you and you alone at one time. So, someone may assume, without a proper understanding of Allah, that this means that at that time, He will have been busy with other things, and then He focuses on something. And that He needs, for example, He needs to focus on something by not focusing on other things. That is a misconception that is the result of thinking of Allah Ta'ala with rulings and limits that we see in the creation. That's the point that the Shaykh is trying to make here. That the fact that He would focus on something, setting His focus on it entirely, as He said, سَنَفْرُغُ لَكُمْ, which indicates that meaning, doesn't mean that other things will be neglected, and it doesn't mean that other things, that was being neglected before that time. But rather, that is the choice time that He will deal with them whenever He chooses, and Allah Ta'ala knows best. وَفِي كُلِّ مَكَانٍ يُدَبِّرُهُ فِي آنٍ وَاحِدٍ. each and every place, Allah Ta'ala is in charge of the creation, in dealing with the creation. وَلَا يُعْجِزُهُ, and this is not beyond his capabilities. Just to give some understanding to that, I ask you this question. Who holds the sky up to keep it from dropping down upon the earth? Abdullah. Allah Azza wa Jal. Is that something that is done sometimes and not other times? Sometimes the sky just falls down. It is done constantly, right? So Allah Ta'ala does that. Who keeps the oceans from bursting forth onto the land? Idris. Allah Azza wa Jal. Tayyib. Is that something that is only done at certain times? Or the water overflows onto the land so often? It's all the time. Tayyib. Babies are born, people are dying, rain comes to the earth, nothing, no leaf drops in the day or the night to any place except that Allah Ta'ala has complete knowledge of it. We're talking about the Creator here, who's not going to be busied or occupied with any of those things. The entire universe, the balance that exists, if what the astronomers say is correct about all the planets and their organization and how they orbit, and they have moons orbiting around them, and it's going on and on in predictable patterns, and you can predict when a certain heavenly body will be in a certain place based on its organized patterns, a very, very precise balance set in place. Who is it that maintains that balance? It's Allah Azza wa Jal. وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدَرِهِ. The people have not given Allah His just estimation. People do not comprehend the masterful tadbir that Allah Ta'ala has for this creation, this masterful control over every small affair and every large affair. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب. So none of that is beyond His capabilities. فَلَا تَتَوَهَمَنَّ أَنَّ قَوْلَهُ سَنَفْرُغُ أَنَّهُ الْآنَ مَشْغُولٌ وَسَيَفْرُغُ. Do not let it be assumed falsely that his statement, we're going to focus on you solely, means that right now he's busy or occupied, and that he will at one point and then go and focus on them because of that, because of being occupied. بَلْ هَذِهِ جُمْلَ وَعِيدِيَّ. This is a phrase that is said to threaten someone. تُعَبِّرُ بِهَا الْعَرَبِ. The Arabs would use this kind of speech in their language. والقرآن الكريم نزل بلغة العرب. And the Qur'an, the noble Qur'an, came in the language of the Arabs. وفي قوله سنفرغ لكم. And regarding the statement, we're going to focus on you. من التعظيم ما هو ظاهر. There is an issue of glorification or honoring Allah Ta'ala in a way that is very apparent. حيث أتى بضمير الجمع, as he has mentioned himself with a plural noon here, سنفرغ, we, using what we would say in English as we, right? And that is to glorify Allah Ta'ala and to show His greatness. سنفرغ تعظيما لنفسه. He says سنفرغ, to show you that He Himself is great, جل وعلا, the mighty and most high, وإلا فهو واحد. Otherwise, He is one singular soul creator entity. He is one, not plural. So the noon, the نحن, and then سنفرغو, we are going to deal with you. It is what we would say in English, the royal plural that is used by people of authority in our language, in English. The more so in British English than American English, I believe. They have the House of Lords, and they have their parliament, and they have their old, more traditional kingdom, and their royal blood, and so on. And they would issue decrees more with the language of we have decided, and we have decreed. And that's something used in all languages, that an authority that is respected by the people uses that type of language. And Allah Ta'ala, being more authoritative, with an authority that is unchallenged, has more right than any person to than any human being would have to use that plural or that royal we. أيها الثقلان, O you two thaqals, O you two species that are heavy, Right? يعني الجن والإنس. The meaning here is jinn, jinn kind, and mankind. وإنما وجه هذا الوعيد إليهما لأنهما مناط التكليف. And the address or the speech has been addressed to them directly only for the purpose of showing that they are the ones upon whom hinges responsibility, accountability, takleef. Meaning, angels don't have takleef. Angels are not accountable and being tested, and they'll be rewarded or punished based on their obedience or disobedience. Their existence is not a test, and their end result is not reward and punishment like jinn and mankind, who have been created specifically to be tested. So therefore their end result will be punishment or reward. That's the nature of accountability and responsibility. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. So then which of the favors of your Lord do you two groups deny, jinn and mankind? سَبَقَ تَفْسِيرُهَا فَلَا حَاجَةَ إِلَى التِّكْرَارِ. We have previously mentioned the explanation for this phrase, so there is no need really to repeat it. Moving to the next verse, very interesting discussion today. You might like this because you'll see people claiming, based on this next verse, what is not intended in the Book of Allah, what is based on mere whims, yet people call it the tafsir of the Qur'an. And you'll see why it is important and essential that when we study tafsir upon a methodology, tafsir of the Qur'an in its proper context, in its language, from scholars of rich understanding, recognized by the world's scholars for their understanding, and not just anybody who decides to write an article about an ayat based on whatever appears to be the case with them. And how many are they in this day and time? Wallahu al-musta'an. Allah Ta'ala says, يَا مَعْشَرَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ إِنِ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ أَن تَنْفُذُوا مِنْ أَقْطَارِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ فَانْفُذُوا. O jinn, or O assembly of jinn and mankind, Allah addresses us and the jinn all together. إِنِ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ, if you are able, here's a challenge, if you are capable of going forth into the layers or into the places beyond your realm, into the heavens and the earth, then do so, then burst forth if you can. بعد الوعيد قال إن استطعتم أن تنفذوا. After this threat of punishment comes, then Allah says what? If you are able to push yourselves forward, أي مما نريده بكم. And the context here is to get away from the punishment that we intend for you. Meaning for those who have disbelieved. If you are able to escape, to flee to a place in the heavens and the earth, outside of where you are when we come to punish you, then do so. Then do so. And this order to do something that a person is incapable of doing is called amrun ta'jizi. You order someone to do something that he's either incapable of doing or that you're going to punish him if he does it. That's another kind of order which is not intended. When I say order, I mean fi'lu amr in the Arabic language, the imperative, do something. So Allah Ta'ala is telling you, fanfudhu, then go and burst forth or and push yourself through whatever boundaries you can. Yet Allah is not ordering, this is not an amr shar'i, you're not now accountable for fulfilling this order. Like when Allah says, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ. That's an order that you have to fulfill. Here the intention is, أَمْرٌ تَعْجِيزِ. You cannot do it. لَا تَنْفُذُونَ, as we're going to see. You are not going to be able to push through. Right? Allah Ta'ala says, وَأَسِرُّوا قَوْلَكُمْ أَوْ اِجْهَرُوا بِهِ إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. Then make your statement openly or hide it secretly. Allah is the one who knows what the chests what is in the chests. So Allah orders you, asirru al-qawl, you need to speak, be silent or secretive about what you want to say, aw ijharu bi, or say it openly. In either case, Allah Ta'ala will know. You are not now ordered with this option. with these orders of speaking openly or silently. You're being told no matter what you do, that Allah Ta'ala knows about what you do. So the intention here is not to be ordered into doing something. مِنْ أَقْطَارِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ فَانْفُذُوا. From the places. أَقْطَار is the plural of قَطَر, which means a place. That's a place called Qatar. You know this place called Qatar? A land called Qatar? طيب, the word Qatar, like Misr, there's a place called Misr, and the word Misr in Arabic language means a city. Likewise, Qatar also means a city or a place of civilization. Qatar. So go to another place, if you can. Escape and push yourself through to another place. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ لَا تَسْتَطِيعُونَ هَذَا. However, you shall not be able to do that. فَالْأَمْرُ هُنَا لِلْتَعْجِيزِ. So the Shaykh says, the order here to burst through or push through is an order that will show you that you are incapable. It's an order to someone who is incapable for a reason. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ لَا تَنْفُذُونَ إِلَّا بِسُلْطَانِ. You shall not be able to go through except with authority, except with sultan. يعني لا ولا سلطان لكم. And the reality is, you have no sultan, you have no authority from Allah Ta'ala. If Allah chooses to punish you, then you are not going to burst through any barrier to any place to escape what Allah Ta'ala has for you. So then there is no sultan for you. There is no authority for you to do that. وَلَا يُمْكِنْ أَحَدٌ أَنْ يَنْفُذَ مِنْ أَقْطَارِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِلَىٰ أَيْنَ يَذْهَبْ. And where is a person going to burst through into if he's leaving the heavens and the earth, the dominion of Allah that he created? Where is he going to go? He has no place to go. لَا يُمْكِنْ. It's not even possible. ثُمَّ قَالْ. Then Allah says, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. And which of the favors of your Lord do you deny? يُرْسَلُ عَلَيْكُمَا شُوَاظٌ مِّن نَارٍ. There shall be fireballs sent upon you. Fireballs of fire, or missiles of fire sent upon you. يعني لو استطعتم. Here the meaning is, if you were even able, if you were capable, then fireballs would be sent upon you. أو لو حاولتم. Or maybe the meaning is, if you even tried, that would be the case. لَكَانَ هَذَا الْجَزَاءِ. And this would be what you get as a result of that action. يُرْسَلُ عَلَيْكُمَا شُوَاظٌ مِّن نَارٍ وَنُحَاسٍ. It shall be sent, missiles of fire would be sent upon you, and nuhas. I'm forgetting what nuhas is. What's nuhas? Huh? Iron? Coal? Not coal. No, what's nuhas? Who has the translation? Copper? Copper. Nuhas, copper. Tayyib. Ay muhma bin nar. You would be prevented and stopped with fire. Fala tantasiran. So you would not be able to mutually assist each other. Ay fala yansuru ba'dukum ba'dha. So none of you could assist one another. Well, not one of you could assist another. Listen to this. وَهَذِهِ الْآيَةِ فِي مَقَامَ تَحَدِّي. This verse has a meaning of a challenge in it. There's a challenge being made here. وَقَدْ أَخْطَأَ غَايَةَ الْخَطَأِ مَنْ زَاعَمَ أَنَّهَا تُشِيرُ إِلَى مَا تَوَصَّلَ إِلَيْهِ الْعُلَمَاءُ مِنَ الطَّيْرَانِ. Those people who have assumed falsely that this ayat has a reference or and it alludes to the issue of spacecrafts and aircrafts. That this means you are breaking through the barriers of the heavens into space and so on. He said they have erred as greatly as a person can err. غَايَةَ الْخَطَأَ. Why? حَتَّى يَخْرُجُ مِنْ أَقْطَارِ الْأَرْضِ وَمِنْ جَاذِبِيَتِهَا. Meaning people would burst through the atmosphere of earth so that they are no longer affected by gravity with these spaceships. وَإِلَىٰ أَنْ يَصِلُوا كَمَا يَزْعُمُونَ إِلَىٰ الْقَمَرِ. And they would reach, as they claim, to the surface of the moon. أو إلى ما فوق القمر or beyond even that as they claim. فالآية ظاهرة في التحدي. This verse is clear in that it is a challenge. In that it is a challenge. وتحدي هو توجيه الخطاب إلى من لا يستطيع. And so a challenge, meaning a challenge from Allah, is an address to the people who cannot meet that challenge. And here, if we're going to go with this tafsir, what happened? The people met the challenge. They have met the challenge of Allah Azza wa Jalla, if that's the meaning. Right? If we affirm that they've landed on the moon, if we can affirm that they've gone into space and so on, then we say here, this challenge issued by Allah has been met by the disbelievers. That's the result of understanding the tafsir in the wrong way. Pay attention and follow. فَالْآيَةُ ظَاهِرَةٌ فِي التَّحَدِّي وَالتَّحَدِّي هُوَ تَوْجِيهُ الْخِطَابِ إِلَى مَنْ لَا يَسْتَطِيعُ ثُمَّ نَقُوْ. Then we say, إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ هَلْ اسْتَطَاعُوا أَنْ يَنْفُذُوا مِنْ أَقْطَارِ السَّمَاوَاتِ. Are such people able to burst through and break through the barriers of the heavens, one to the next? What happened here? لو فرضنا أنهم نفذوا من أقطار الأرض. Let's assume, giving into the argument that they have gone beyond the atmosphere of the earth and they have busted through and pushed through into the heavens, into the samawat, into the skies. مَا نَفَذُوا مِنْ أَقْطَارِ السَّمَاوَاتِ. And they have not gone beyond the heavens. They have not gone from a heaven into another heaven. فَالْآيَةُ وَاضِحَ أَنَّهَا فِي مَقَامَ تَحَدِّي. So the verse is clear that it is about a challenge. It is about a challenge. وَأَنَّهَا لَا تُشِيرُ إِلَى مَا زَعَمَ هَؤُلَاءِ أَنَّهَا تُشِيرُ إِلَيْهَا إِلَيْهِ. It is not something that alludes to what people think it alludes to of space travel. Right? وَنَحْنُ نَقُولُ الشَّيْءُ الْوَاقِعُ لَا نُكَذِّبُهُ. We say in reality something that happens and is confirmed as a reality, we do not reject it. وَلَكِنْ لَا يَلْزَمُ مِنْ تَصْدِيقِهِ أَنْ يَكُونَ الْقُرْآنُ دَلَّ عَلَيْهِ أو السُنَّة. However, as a principle, just because something happens, it doesn't mean that it has its place and being it is mentioned in the Qur'an or in the Sunnah. It is not a must that if something happened in our creation, it must have been mentioned in the Qur'an or in the Sunnah. Meaning explicitly. Al-waqi' waqi'. The reality that takes place is the reality. فَهُمْ خَرَجُوا مِنْ أَقْطَارِ الْأَرْضِ. So they have gone beyond the atmosphere of the earth. وَهَذَا وَاقِعٌ لَا يَحْتَاجُ إِلَى الدَّلِيلِ. This is a reality that doesn't need to be proven. وَهَذِهِ الْآيَةُ فِي سِيَاقِهَا إِذَا تَأَمَّلْتَهَا وَجَدْتَ أَنَّ هَذَا التَّحَدِّيَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. And this verse in its context, if you contemplate it properly, you would find that it is a challenge that is set for the Day of Judgment. لِأَنَّهُ قَالْ كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ. Because previously Allah Ta'ala has mentioned the destruction of everything on earth. Everything on earth shall go away. ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ يَسْأَلُهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And that every being in the heavens and the earth ask of him. ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ يَا مَعْشَرَ الْجِنِّ. Then he mentioned this verse. O assembly of jinn, and the rest of the verse. ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ مَا بَعْدَهَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَإِذَا انشَقَّتِ السَّمَاءُ. And then he mentioned what comes next about the splitting up of the heavens on the Day of Judgment when the heavens are split asunder. يعني تفتحت وذلك يوم القيامة. That the sky will be split up asunder, and that is on the Day of Judgment. Now just before moving along in the tafsir, I'd like to mention a few more points which make it pretty clear that this verse is not about this life it is not about an encouragement for people to engage in space travel in this life. For if it were, look at the false meanings that would come out of this verse. Firstly, it's taken out of its context as mentioned by the Shaykh. This verse is a challenge for those jinn and mankind that Allah Ta'ala chooses to punish and deal with the speech that just preceded it. We're going to focus on you solely, O Thaqalan. Right? And there is going to be no escape. You're not going to be able to go through any place in the heavens and earth in order to escape if you think you can, then go ahead. You shall not be able to accept with authority, meaning, and you have no authority. That's the context of the verse. Secondly, the jinn already fly. Secondly, the jinn already have the ability to fly. It's nothing new for them. And this is an address to who? The jinn and the mankind. Jinn and mankind. So in terms of breaking through the atmosphere of the earth, jinn can do that, as it has been narrated in many stories of the jinn, in the book, in the sunnah, in the authentic narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The jinn fly. And the jinn don't abide by the same physical rules of governance of the creation that we live in. They have a coexisting sphere of existence that we only know very little about. Tayyib. So then they already fly, as is known from the story of Sulaiman and other places in the Quran. Thirdly, the scholars of tafsir are united. We're talking about the scholars of tafsir of old, the Salaf, before this era. They are united that the order, fanfudhu, is an order for ta'jeez. It is an order that you cannot fulfill. So once the ummah has united upon something, it's not for someone to come and say, oh no, now we know the real meaning of the verse. A meaning that was not known to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to his beloved companions, those who we look to for the correct and proper understanding. Another point against this understanding, that if this was a challenge that has already been met by space travel, that would mean essentially that this passage is in praise of the disbelieving scientists who accomplish that. And hasha, never would the book of Allah be in praise of the disbelievers. Lastly, Allah Ta'ala mentions tanazzulan, even if you are able, then Allah would have sent missiles of fire after you. You would be burned by missiles of fire and copper. And that has not happened, as is claimed by the people who went to the moon. So this is not addressing the issue of space travel, and Allah Ta'ala knows best. I refer you to two important resources for further look into this, because it may be a popular tafsir for those who mistakenly listen to scientists without proper Islamic training explain the Quran. A very dangerous issue. Tafsir of the Quran is to be done with principles. The principles that are derived from the book and the sunnah. And it is not for anyone with no understanding of Arabic and no grounding and no understanding of abrogated verses or general and specific verses, verses that specify other verses, all of these matters that the scholars of tafsir focus on. It is not for a person with a degree or with fantastic research in biology or nuclear physics or any of the various sciences to come and say, I have reached an understanding of the book of Allah. And he brings a statement that no one else in the history of Islam had brought. This is not possible for us to accept. Why? Because the deen of Allah has been conveyed. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam has conveyed it and not hidden anything from us. For those people who are qualified with the Arabic language, with the foundations of usul al-tafsir, with understanding of usul al-fiqh, with understanding of abrogated verses and all of those conditions for the mufassir, if they specialize in biology, in physics and different matters and come to it, we would be happy to see what their findings would be. And you'll find them catching on to a statement from one of the tabi'een or one of the companions, and you'll find them developing that and showing and supporting why that was correct. And you won't find them bringing about a new position or a new statement about a verse. As our Salaf were united in their statement, إِيَّاكَ أَن تَأْتِي بِقَوْلٍ لَا سَلَفَ لَكَ. Be warned against coming with a statement in Islam that you have no predecessor for. عَلَيْكُمْ بِالِتِّبَاعِ وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالِبْتِدَاعِ. Upon you is to follow the deen that has come to you from the noble and trustworthy messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Upon you is ittiba', and be warned of ibtida', and be warned of inventing and bringing about new statements in the religion that you have no precedence for. Tayyib. Then Allah Ta'ala says, فَإِذَا شَقَّتِ السَّمَاءِ. When at that time, or when the heavens will be split up, يعني تفتحت opened up وذلك يوم القيامة. That is on the day of judgment. كما قال تعالى إذا السماء انشقت in سورة الانشقاق in جزء عما when the sky will be split up وأذنت لربها وحقت and it will listen and obey its Lord rightfully so. وإذا الأرض مدت and when the earth will be laid out flat وألقت ما فيها وتخلت and it will push out everything, all of its contents, and empty itself out, meaning the graves, the occupants of the graves. وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ And it will obey the order of its Lord, as it rightfully must do so. يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِي O mankind, you are a person, you are someone working. You are someone toiling away to your Lord, eventually reaching your Lord with lots of work. And so you're going to meet him. فَمُلَاقِيهِ So then you're going to meet him. فَكَانَ And this is an explanation of the انشقاق of the heavens mentioned in the very beginning of Surah انشقاق. فَكَانَتْ وَرْدَةً And it is at that time when it is split and opened up red in color or rose red in color ay mithlu alwarda fil humra like a red rose in the redness of the color kadihan like oil or paint and here the sheikh says kal jild al madhun like skin that has had oil placed over it right in redness فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ So which of the favors of your Lord do you deny? The 38th verse. فَيَوْمَئِذٍ And then on that day, the next verse, أَيْ إِذَنْ شَقَّتْ When the sky is split up. لَا يُسْأَلُ عَنْ ذَنْبِهِ إِنْسٌ وَلَا جَانٌ No human being will be asked about his sin and no jinn. Here, Ace is already going to ask a question. Maybe Qasim is going to ask the question. On that day, Allah negates that you would be asked about your sin. Tayyib, Allah already knows. Excellent. So you understand this questioning here to be a kind of questioning that we would need to affirm if someone has done something or not. And so there's no questioning like that. We don't need to ascertain if you've done something or not. It's all written, recorded. You don't have to acknowledge doing something. You don't have to witness against yourself that things have been written, right? So here, the negation of the question being asked is that he won't be asked if he did it or not and be able to get out of something in a way that some people who are known for lying can do. All right? Watch what Allah Ta'ala says. Watch what the Shaykh says here. لِمَاذَا Why? لِأَنَّ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ مَعْلُومٍ Just like Isa said. May Allah Ta'ala bless Isa and increase him in knowledge. Because every single thing is already known on that day. وَالْمُرَادُ لَا يَسْأَلُ سُؤَالِ اسْتِرْشَادٍ وَاسْتِعْلَامٍ What is intended here is that a question will not be asked to them from a questioner who needs knowledge. From a questioner who needs to understand something. He's seeking guidance. Or he's seeking an understanding that is not the nature of us being questioned on that day. That's the questioning that is negated. Right? Of course, we will be questioned on that day. But not with questions of istirshad and isti'lam. Questions where someone is asking us in order to find out something. That is the question here that is being negated, so we understand it clearly. أَمَّا سُؤَالُ تَبْكِيت As for the question of someone who's punishing someone or inquiring so as to reward or punishment, then فَيُسْأَلُ مِثْلَ قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى Then he will indeed be asked, like the statement of Allah the Most High, وَيَوْمَ يُنَادِيهِمْ And on that day he will call them, فَيَقُولُ مَاذَا And it will be said to them, مَاذَا أَجَبْتُمُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ With what did you respond to the messengers? Right? فعميت عليهم الأنباء يومئذ فهم لا يتساءلون. And so they will be made blind on that day regarding realities, regarding the news. فهم لا يتساءلون. And they will not be able, or they will not be mutually questioning each other. نعم إيسا. Allahu Akbar, Allah. Exactly. Now this is where some people, without grounding in the Quran, they're looking for contradictions. But with understanding, Allah Ta'ala will open up the way you understand both verses in their proper places. وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Had it been from other than Allah, then they would have been able to find many contradictions therein. So Allah Ta'ala has preserved His book, and He has preserved it for us without contradictions. There's a science in tafsir called Ta'wil Mushkil al-Qur'an, or Tafsir Mushkil al-Qur'an. And sometimes it's called Mukhtalif al-Hadith or Mushkil al-Hadith as well. Mushkil al-Qur'an means two verses that at first glance they seem to contradict each other. While Muslims who believe in the Qur'an realize that what? There is no contradiction. But the reason I have come to this assumption at first glance is my limited knowledge. And the solution for my understanding of two verses which I can't reconcile is knowledge. To learn their understanding, to learn their meaning, so that each verse can be placed in its proper place and have its proper understanding. So if you are looking for a contradiction and you refuse to allow the book of Allah to be explained properly, then you would say, in one verse, Allah negates that a servant will be questioned on the Day of Judgment, and in other verses, there is an affirmation of questioning, and this book has contradictions in it. That's without going beyond the surface level reading of the phrases, without putting them together properly, that when you say, I ask you, in your language, I ask you, do you always mean the same thing? You have a question? I ask you. Sometimes you ask to find out something. Sometimes you ask to establish a proof on someone. Sometimes you ask, right, to remind someone of something that you think he should be acting on, but he's not doing it. So you may ask a question in a variety of situations, right? If you said to someone, brother, don't you think it's better if we pray now instead of later, right? Meaning you're suggesting that we establish the salat now and not wait. That's what you're saying. So if he begins to answer your question, you say, I'm really not asking a question here. I'm just trying to encourage you to establish the prayer. Or you say to a person smoking a cigarette, maybe an easier example, don't you think you should thank Allah for your good health and be a better, more thankful servant to Allah? It's not a question for discussion or looking for an answer. It's a rhetorical question here. And it means, I advise you and I admonish you to remember Allah and to do better in your Islam and to put out this cigarette and repent to Allah Ta'ala. Do you get the idea there? So it's not that I'm asking a question. So I might ask the same person if he knows where Fulan went. And I'm asking a question and I need to know the answer because I'm looking for guidance from this person. Tayyib. So people can ask a question that has one meaning in one situation, and they can ask a question that has a totally different meaning and is not a request for information or a request for help or anything like that in another situation. Hopefully that makes it clear that that is something found in our understanding of language, in our language, not even the Arabic language. In our language we can see it. So why would we rush to assume that there is a contradiction in the book of Allah Ta'ala because Allah has negated a questioning for the servants on the Day of Judgment in one verses, and He has affirmed the questioning. Rather, we can say questioning is many types. Another principle that would help a person understand matters of the hereafter is that, in terms of the principles of tafsir and the way the scholars match these verses and put them in the right places, they say, الْآخِرَ مَقَامَاتْ manazil. The hereafter is many different situations, one after the next. So something can be negated in one situation and affirmed in the next situation. Right? So we can say that they won't be asked with a certain meaning of asking, but they will be asked with another meaning of asking. And we can say at some situations in the hereafter they will not be asked, and in some stations in the hereafter they shall be asked. Make sense? Tayyib. So with all of these options available, why would a Muslim choose to say, I don't know how to put these verses together? Rather, seeking knowledge of the tafsir of the Book of Allah is a way to remove these kinds of mistaken impressions. By the way, I said to you, I'll mention to you two resources, and I didn't mention them to you. You didn't remind me. You're following. Two resources, two scholarly resources for rejecting the concept of space travel being intended by the previous verse. One is a risala written by Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, the same author. He wrote a specific risala called Risala. Wrote it in my notes somewhere here. Risala. Something like that. Risala. حول السعود إلى القمر رسالة حول السعود إلى القمر a short writing, a short book or a short piece on what has been said about the moon landing. And he discussed how from 9 different angles of refutation, this verse is not about space travel. The verse يَا مَعَشَرَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ طَيِّب. A missive or a treatise about the moon landing by Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen. Another one as part of his tafsir, Shaykh Muhammad al-Amin al-Shinqiti, rahimahullah ta'ala, the great scholar of tafsir. His book is called Adwa'ul Bayan. Adwa'ul Bayan. Right? Tafsir al-Qur'an bil-Qur'an. Tafsir of the Qur'an with other verses of the Qur'an. Very beautiful book of tafsir. In this book of tafsir, he mentions in Surah Qasas, or what Surah? Surah Al-Ra'd. وَلَقَدْ جَعَلْنَا فِي السَّمَاءِ بُرُوجًا وَزَيَّنَّاهَا لِلنَّاظِرِينَ. The 16th verse of Surah Al-Ra'd, he mentions in there a multi-leveled refutation against people who claim that the verse from Surah Al-Rahman that we read today is about space travel. Right, and he mentions that the people who say this, la ilma lahu, they have no knowledge. The people who claim that that verse from Surah Al-Rahman is about space travel, they are people who don't have knowledge. طيب. وقال عز وجل, and Allah Ta'ala says, affirming more questioning, illa ashab al-yamin, from Surah Al-Muddathir, except for the companions of the right, fi jannatin yatasa'alun. They'll be in gardens asking mutually, عن المجرمين. They'll be asking about the criminals, meaning the disbelievers. ما سلككم في سقر. What is it that caused you to enter the سقر? One of the names of the fire. قالوا لم نكن من المصلين. They say, as a response, we were not from the people who prayed. That's verses 39 to 43. There's more in that dialogue between the people of Jannah and the people of the hellfire. And in that is what? Su'al. And they're being asked about their sins. Where Allah says, on that day, no one will be asked about their sins. La yus'alu an dhanbihi insun wa la jan. No man, no jinn, will be asked about his sin. Meaning, from someone seeking knowledge, from someone trying to ascertain if it was committed, from someone needing guidance about that. Right? But as for questions, other questions in other situations, then that is affirmed in other verses. وَقَالَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لِأَهْلِ النَّارِ وَهُمْ يُلْقَوْنَ فِيهَا. And Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, said about the people of the fire, whilst they are tossed into it, أَوَلَمْ تَكُ تَأْتِيكُمْ رُسُلُكُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ. Is it not that your messengers came to you with clear proofs? قَالُوا بَلَى. And they will say, of course. They will say, of course. قَالُوا فَدْعُوا. And so on. They will say, of course, and then it will be said to them, then call on them, and so on. There is a question, again here in this verse, being posed to the people being thrown into the fire at the time they are thrown into the fire. And that question is about their sin. So there are places and events and situations on the Day of Judgment where a servant will be asked, and there are situations where he will not be asked, scenarios where he will not be asked about his sin. وَأَمْثَالُهَا كَثِيرٌ, the Shaykh says. There are many examples of this. إذن لا يسأل عن ذنبه سؤال استرشاد واستعلام. So he'll not be asked the question which is to ascertain information. وإنما يسألون سؤال تبكيت وتوبيخ. They'll only be asked the questions from someone, or the question that is to disgrace them or to overtake them. وما جاء من سؤال الإنس والجن عن ذنبهم عن ذنوبهم. And the things that have been narrated, or the things that are mentioned about jinn and mankind being asked about their sins. هل أنت عملت أو لم تعمل. فهو سؤال تبكيت وتوبيخ. And they will not be asked about did you do it or didn't you do it. They will be asked questions only that are to affirm, to confirm with them that they've done those things, to disgrace them and to overwhelm them on that day. وهناك فرق بين سؤال الاسترشاد وسؤال التوبيخ فلا تتناقض الآيات. There's a clear difference between a question that ascertains information from someone who needs to know versus a question being asked in order to punish someone. So there is no contradiction between the verses. فما جاء أنهم يسألون فهو سؤال توبيخ. And what has been related that they will be asked is a question which is meant to humiliate them or disgrace them. وما جاء أنهم لا يسألون فهو سؤال استرشاد واستعلام. It is a question used to ascertain information that is negated. لأن الكل معلوم ومكتوب. Because every single thing is known and written. I'm trying to finish here briefly. I've just got a little bit left to go. So I apologize for the delay in the salat. We'll get that established very shortly. فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان. So which of the favors of your Lord then do you deny? يعرف المجرمون بسيماهم. The criminals will be known by their marks. أي بعلاماتهم. يعرفون. They shall be known by their signs. They will be known. ومن علاماتهم. ومن علاماتهم. ولعاذ بالله. أنهم سود الوجوه. And from their distinctive marks on that day, and refuge with Allah is sought, that they will have darkened faces. قال الله تعالى يوم تبيض وجوههم وتسود وجوه. On that day, some faces will be gleaming and bright, and other faces will be darkened. وأنهم يحشرون يوم القيامة زرقا. And they shall be gathered on the day of judgment زرقا. The word زرقا comes similar to the word azraq. What's azraq? Not green. Green is akhdar. Huh? Blue. There we go. Got our young guys involved. Zurqa. So some of the scholars said they will be a dark blue towards a black color in darkness, in gloominess on that day. وَأَنَّهُمْ يُحْشَرُونَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ زُرْقًا. إما أنهم زرق أحيانا وسود أحيانا. Either they will be this blue color at some times, or they will be black faced sometimes. وإما أنهم سود الوجوه زرق العيون. Or perhaps they will be darkened faces, blackened faces with blue eyes, meaning blinded eyes that are now like blue balls in the sockets. That's another meaning of being زرق, that the eye is blinded and it looks like a blue marble in the place. So maybe that is the case as well. وَإِمَّا أَنُّهُمْ زُرْقٌ زُرْقَةً يَعْنِي بَالِغَةً يَحْسَبُهَا الْإِنسَانُ سَوْدًا. And perhaps they will be darkened with a blue color so much that a person would think that it's so dark blue that it is itself black. And Allah Ta'ala knows best. يُعْرَفُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ بِسِيمَاهُمْ فَيُؤْخَذُ بِالنَّوَاسِي وَالْأَقْدَامِ. So they will be snatched or taken by their forelocks and their feet. وَعَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And our Shaykh, when he was teaching this, according to the recording, he was seeking a lot of refuge with Allah Ta'ala, some of which has been removed from the printed version of the book. النَّوَاسِي مُقَدَّمُ الرَّأْسِ. The forelock is the very front of the head. وَالْأَقْدَامُ مَعْرُوفَةٌ. The word أَقْدَام, feet, is something well known. فَتُؤْخَذُ رِجْلُهُ إِلَى نَاصِيَتِهِ. وَلِعَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So his foot will be snatched, his foot will be taken along with his forelock, meaning together, right? هَكَذَا يُطْوَى طَيًّا إِهَانَةً لَهُ. He'll be rolled up or folded up like this in a disgrace for him. وَخِزْيًا لَهُ. It left to this kind of horrible situation. فَيُؤْخَذُ بِالنَّوَاصِي وَالْأَقْدَامِ. Taken by the forelock and the feet together. وَيُلْقَوْنَ فِي النَّارِ. And then tossed in the fire. وَلِعَذُ بِاللَّهِ. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. So which of the favors of your Lord do you deny? هَذِهِ جَهَنَّمُ الَّتِي يُكَذِّبُ بِهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ. This is Jahannam. This is the fire called Jahannam that the mujrimun, the criminals, deny. يعني يقال هذه جهنم التي تكذبون بها. Meaning it will be said, this is the hellfire that you have rejected. وقال المجرمون ولم يقول تكذبون بها. Allah mentioned the criminals, and He didn't say that you are rejecting. Rather, He said the criminals reject. إشارة إلى أنهم مجرمون. Showing that they are criminals indeed. وما أعظم جرم الكفار. And how great the crime of the disbelievers is. الذين كفروا بالله ورسوله واستهزأوا بآيات الله واتخذوها هزوا ولعبا. That they have disbelieved in Allah and His Messenger, mocked the verses of Allah and taken them as play and mockery. يطوفون بينها. They will go about between these things. أَيَتَرَدَّدُونَ بَيْنَهَا. Meaning in the fire. وَبَيْنَ حَمِيمٍ أَنْ. And between a fire and a boiling source of water. أَيْشَدِيدُ الْحَرَارَ. Extremely hot. وَلِعَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And Allah's refuge is sought. وَأَمَّا كَيْفِ يَكُونُ ذَلِكَ فَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. How is it that that's going to be? Precisely, specifically, then Allah Ta'ala knows best. لَكِنَّنَا نُؤْمِنُ. However, we believe. بأنهم يطوفون بينها وبين الحميم الحار الشديد الحرارة. That they will be walking back and forth, walking about in that fire, back and forth to a boiling hot or very extremely hot water. والله أعلم بذلك. And Allah Ta'ala knows best about that. And we close off our lesson this evening saying, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. The 45th verse is the same verse that you have heard many times. Which of the favors of your Lord then do you, both jinn and mankind, deny? هَذَا وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ وَصَلِّ اللَّهُمَّ وَسَلَّمُ وَبَارِكَ عَلَى نَبِيَّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.